So thank you. Let me just start out that Washington was one of the three states selected to pilot this multi-data source surveillance program for work-related amputations and carpal tunnel syndrome. And my two fellow researchers, Bob Harrison from California and Tish Davis from Massachusetts, are here. And there's some variation between our states in sort of the data that's available and the quality of the data and what we exactly have access to. And they may chime in during the discussion period about their own work. I would like to say that I don't have any commercial relationships, and that, you know, I tend to say things that are a bit opinionated, and it's really not a reflection of the Department of Labor and Industries or the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They're just my own opinions, okay? So just to start out, I know you all know that we need good injury data, occupational injury and illness data. I'll make my first opinionated statement, which is that we really need data, and that there was a recent initiative in Washington State to allow private insurance companies to take over parts of our monopolistic workers' comp system. And we use our data from our workers' comp system to do a lot of things, including our state OSHA plan targeting, our surveillance programs, identifying populations at risk. And within this initiative, we're basically provisions to gut our ability to have any oversight about what's going on in the workplace. So I really recognize the absolute need for data, and it's clearly information for action. And I know that this group uses that data for action. I'd like to say to Eric that, you know, you guys are the only game in town in terms of providing national and state level data. So you're obviously where we spend a lot of time thinking about what you do. On the state, you know, we use workers' comp data, hospital and ER data for our surveillance programs, reportable conditions. And there's a lot of state level data that's available. And in terms of this pilot, we're using a lot of that state level data to try to enumerate amputations and carpal tunnel syndrome. There are other national surveillance systems, the National Health Interview Survey and NICE work that provides some estimate of non-fatal occupational injury and illness. And there's been some discussion about trying to extend them to state level estimates. There was a conference about a year and a half ago and that was discussed. There doesn't seem to be much activity towards that. There's lots of issues about relying on a single data source, obviously underreporting of eligible cases, that some of that underreporting may be from very specific populations, low wage worker, certain members of racial and ethnic minorities might be systematically not reporting and of eligible cases. And there's also, as Eric talked about, cases that exist outside the population under surveillance in a specific data system. So the benefits of linking data sources is this the idea of actually gathering in all these excluded populations from one data source to put them all together and try to accurately enumerate the number of cases. There's some additional benefits. So BLS SOI relies on employer reporting. There's other data systems that rely upon other types of mechanisms of reporting. So for example, in Washington, the workers' compensation system, the initial claim is actually reported by the healthcare provider and that initiates the whole process. The employer may be notified later. So the source of the report is really from the worker and the healthcare provider. And similarly, ER and hospital discharge data sort of comes from the actual hospital system. There's some linking to workers' comp there too. But basically you're capturing it outside of maybe the employer reporting when you expand your data sources. And then one thing that we obsess about in Washington State is this idea of case development, which is where something may appear in one data system as characterized as a certain type of injury, say, a worker visits the emergency room for wrist pain, and then it evolves more clearly into something like carpal tunnel syndrome, where you see that in your workers' compensation system. And we call that case development. And then clearly another advantage is that if you estimate what's going on through all the data sources, you can actually sort of see what you're missing in one data source. So you can compare case ascertainment by individual data sources. So we're sort of piloting this. I put pilot in quotes because my state colleagues have been doing this for 20 years in the sensor programs by linking data sources and sort of enumerating cases for asthma or actually CTS and carpal tunnel and amputations. So people have done this before. Our project to date, I'm just going to go over briefly our approach, some of the challenges, and how we're going to move forward. So Eric said we're picking amputations and carpal tunnel. I think those are both actually very difficult things to do. I thought amputations would be quite easy. It doesn't turn out that way. Carpal tunnel has always been a problem and will continue to be a problem. And really, it's some of it's a function of quality of care in terms of diagnosis. It's symptom recognition and reporting, attribution to the workplace specifically for carpal tunnel amputations. I'll talk a little bit about some of the problems with that later on. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to get the data, identify the cases, get rid of duplicates, identify the unique cases, and then count them up. Sounds easy? Well, it's not. So this is sort of the data that we have available in our states, at least that we propose for this pilot project. All of us have workers' comp data. To some of it's better than others. Hospital discharge data, again, some is better than others. And we all have access to soy. We're going to be incorporating soy into sort of this with some methods to sort of see what matches on the establishments they sample and the injuries they report. Each state has some other additional data sources they're using. So California and Massachusetts have ER data. There's a physician first reporting and ambulatory surgical data in California. We're going to be using trauma registry, and then Massachusetts has outpatient observation data. So when you look at these data sets, you say, oh, well, how do I identify a case in there? How do I identify a suspected case? And it just sort of depends what you have available. So, you know, we're sort of approaching this with narrative text, you know, the OIX coding system. Here's an example for carpal tunnel. We ICD-9 codes, procedure codes, and then we play around with a variety of dates to try to sort of see what should be reported for a specific calendar year. And these sort of appear, this is Washington data, these identification elements appear in sort of differently in different data sets. So for example, the ICD-9 codes only appear in workers' comp, hospital discharge, and trauma registry data, don't appear in soy, whereas the narrative description and OIX codes are more in the workers' comp and soy. And I just want to point out, this is an enumeration project, so on some level, it might be important to say that when we try to actually match across data sets, when we identify a case by an ICD-9 code from a workers' comp system, we have to sort of think carefully about whether or not that case should appear in soy or not, because it's sort of a case classification thing. Soy does not have ICD-9 codes to identify cases. We can talk more about that later. The other thing is, once you sort of identify a suspected case, then you sort of have to try to eliminate duplicates. Again, identification elements within each data set to link cases is a bit of an issue. There's usually some component of a name. So for example, our hospital discharge data only has a first initial and a couple letters of the last name. And there's just a variety of things. Most of them have some sort of birth date or age, gender, and then various other elements. You can sort of look at that. One of the interesting things in the hospital discharge data, the trauma registry data, and I think in the ER data, there's very little information about the employer, which is a bit of a problem. So our challenges, and you know, Tish accused me when she looked at this talk of like being really pessimistic, so I will try it on a positive note. But it is quite challenging. Eric mentioned our difficulties in getting access to this data. Fortunately, I'm on the IRB board in Washington State, and I still find it very painful, despite 10s and 20s, it doesn't work. But you know, so the bottom line is that it's very hard. A lot of energy goes into getting the approval for this data and data sharing agreements. And then once you get the data, you realize, oh gosh, there's lots of stuff that's missing. It changes all the time. And so it becomes this real nightmare of sort of documenting what's in the data. And then we have some significant challenges. And just talking a little bit about amputations, you know, we can identify a suspected amputation case with an ICD-9 code, and then you basically actually pull up the medical record from that in your workers' comp system, and you discover that, you know, is it really an amputation? So do you say, if there's no bone loss, is that an amputation? So it's like a definitional issue, or you know, the doctor says, oh, it's a partial amputation, but it seems like they still have their finger at the end of the case, and you know, somebody gets their foot crushed, and then 2 months later they get an amputation. Well, if you talk to a surgeon, they wouldn't think that's an amputation. And, you know, so we spent hours on conference calls discussing that. And you know, it just turns out not to be easy. I don't think we've even resolved some of it. We're just all looking at our data. And the same thing with carpal tunnel. I mean, traumatic carpal tunnel syndrome occurs, and assigning a date of injury for carpal tunnel is a little bit complicated. There's often a lot of conflict around that. Work relatedness is another sort of nightmare. Mostly, conditions of long latency, you know, when is it assigned to be work-related? People have comorbid diseases, which make them higher predisposition for diseases. There's lots of discussion. There's disagreement often within a medical record around whether or not it's work-related or not, and so we have to deal with that. And this is, you know, again, something I'm obsessed about is timing, which, you know, to be honest with you, you'd think somebody get injured, they get medical care, there'd probably be a concurrent employer notification process, and maybe a workers' comp claim filing. So, you know, we've done these patterns of how things occur in our workers' comp data, and there's no real standard way it happens. I mean, just, it's crazy. I mean, people, you know, have medical care for 5 years, and then they decide to file a claim. Sometimes they just go because they've been exposed to something, and, you know, oftentimes something's work-related, you know, 10 years later, and it just doesn't, a lot of it doesn't make sense. And this is just a small example of this, where we took 2010 data, so we looked at our data set like 2 months ago, and said, okay, well, let's identify the carpal tunnel syndrome cases where the date of injury was assigned to 2001, okay? So we're looking basically 9 years ago, and we're very restrictive. These are cases where the doctor said it's CTS, they have surgery at some point later on, so we're convinced they're CTS. And so what we did was, on the first column there, is the date period in which the workers' comp system sort of has information about this case. So we're looking at data filing in this of second column. So of the cases where the date of injury in 2001 for a CTS case is assigned, in year 2001, we only know about 60% of those cases. So if I were to look at my cases, if back in 2001 I looked at the cases of carpal tunnel syndrome, I would only really know about 60% of the cases that I now know about. That's a little convoluted, but I think I explained it a little bit. Well, the same thing is sort of if you keep on going out, there's a progression of sort of our knowledge of when these cases are filed with the workers' comp system. So even 6 months out of the calendar year 2001, we would only know about 87.5% of the cases. So in some ways for SOI, they wouldn't know about cases that ultimately get assigned to that injury year. And then the last column is when we pay time loss. So about 25% of the cases have not been paid time loss at the second after the second quarter of 2002 for the 2001 injuries. So what are we gonna do? You know, I think we're gonna learn a lot from this, and I think we'll have a lot of recommendations of what we can do and what we can't do in terms of developing a multi-source surveillance system. You know, we're gonna learn a lot about how to efficiently access the data and whether or not we really need to do a lot of work in terms of obtaining the medical record or not. I mean, there's some cases that we'll be able to say it's a slam dunk carpal tunnel case, and there's some cases where we'll say maybe we need to look for more information. And we'll be able to say whether or not we need to actually, you know, improve our data systems by adding additional data elements. There's a lot of, I think there'll be some information to say, you know, hospital discharge data only captures this percentage of, you know, work-related amputations or whatever. I do want to say that I think, you know, as much as I value data, I really think we should keep on thinking about better ways to do things. And I think, you know, right now we're on this great process of looking at record keeping, but I do think we should also think about other types of surveillance systems. And you know, David Wegman about a year and a half ago showed this slide that I'm going to show in a minute, which is basically relying on employer reporting and the squares, but they also have a labor force survey where they ask workers if they've been injured. And I think we can have, you know, two surveillance systems that collect data and not necessarily have one surveillance system with multiple data sources. So that's it. These are the people who share in this pain. And I do want to say Sarah Wellner and Darren Adams are instrumental in Washington. So.